الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله مولانا العظيم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. For us as humans, we've been taught by the hadith of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that we should always ask for afiyat. One day, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was on the minbar. And in his khutbah, he said, Salillah al-afiyah. Ask Allah for afiyat. Because there can be nothing greater than afiyat after yaqeen. The highest thing is to have conviction in Allah. And the second thing after that is for afiyat. Well-being. Good health, security. Everything be protected for you. One day, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says that we went with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this Sahabi was very sick. He was so sick that he became frail and so weak. His whole body color had become yellow. He could barely move. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that there's something wrong here. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, that is there any dua you perhaps making? So the Sahabi says, yes, there is a dua. I'm saying, oh Allah, whatever punishment you're going to give me in the year after, give it to me in the dunya finish. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, don't make that dua. Where can we bear the punishment of Allah? Ask Allah for afiyat. Ask Allah for protection, for well-being. Inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'imah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamam al-afiyah wa tawam al-afiyah wa shukra al-afiyah. The various ahadith in the munajiyah, ajati maqbool, the various du'as that we continuously make du'a that Allah grants us well-being. And that should be our fervent du'a. And when we make du'a, we always know that du'a is more powerful than adopting the outward mean. Even though in the sharia, we've been advised to adopt your security means, take your treatment, to go out and seek your sustenance. These are all means. And it's part of the process to adopt the means. The people of Yemen came without provision for Hajj. They said, no, we're going to place our trust in Allah. But when they reached the Haramain and they had nothing, they started begging. Others, they turn to the means entirely and they depend on the means that this is going to give me cure. And they forget about Allah. So we adopt the means while we keep our heart attached to Allah, knowing that it is only Allah who will bring for us what we desire by this mean. So we make dua under all circumstances and we adopt the means that is necessary for our well-being, our protection, our peaceful and harmonious existence in this world. But be that as it may, there will be circumstances that you experience in life in this world. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We will test you with some fear, with some hunger, some deficiency in your, within yourself, sickness, loss of life, loss of produce. All of these things will come about at different times. You will experience different situations. And Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, that every one of you will be tested. Allama ibn Qayyim rahimahumullah said, كُلُّكُمْ مُصَابٌ. Everyone will have their own situation. إِمَّا بِفَوَاتِ مَحْبُوبٍ أَوْ بِحُصُولِ مَكْرُوبٍ. It may be that difficult circumstances come upon you, or it may be that you lose a beloved one. And these things will happen at different stages in your life. But the question is, how will you respond to this? How do we respond? Look at the situation now. we have a scourge of crime in our own area, house breakings. We've just come out of one calamity after the other. We've had the COVID pandemic that disrupted our lives. Many of us lost close, near and dear ones. The floods in KZN that affected those people, the drought in the Eastern Cape at the present moment. And then the continuous scourge of different crimes, the kidnapping, hijacking, robbery. All these things happen all the time. Sometimes you hear about it, it's news. Sometimes it actually you are the victim. How do you deal with these circumstances when they strike you? When a difficult situation, in the worst case, a loss of a close person, loss of property, what should be the mindset of a believer under these circumstances? And for me, the biggest thing that happened to me was 4.5 years ago when my marhum father passed away. And that was a big moment in my own life, and it gave me perspective. And subsequent to that, in our family, I've lost a cousin. My cousin lost his son. There's been hospitalization with the COVID. There's been the riots in the Eastern Cape. And just over the weekend, my brother got stabbed 6 times while walking on the beachfront. So looking at these various things that happen, that each one will have their own story. How do you deal with it? And how do you get perspective on what is going on? And how do you respond? So the first thing that one needs to understand is that patience has to be adopted, as Allah Rabbul Izzah says in that same verse, the continuation, the next verse, that what happens? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Give glad tidings to those who, when some difficulty afflicts them, then they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Verily, to Allah do we belong, and to Him is our return. What we tend to see, you know, when a calamity strikes some people, they almost become overwhelmed. They go like into a vortex. They totally in a daze. They don't know what hit them, and they remain like that. Then you get those who, when something happens, they start thinking, you know, why me? Of all people in the world, why did this have to happen to me in particular? Or you get people who will think that, things are going really bad for me. It looks like I've been very bad luck in this world. And some even go to the point to say that, look, if so many bad things can happen to me, then where is Allah? Why is He allowing this to happen to me? And it shakes a person's faith. It shakes you to the core when you look at the type of sickness you may have to deal with, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a child, what has happened to you. And that is where we need to remain grounded. And we are reminded, Allama Qayyim rahimahullah said that when you look at this verse, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, it reminds us of two things. Number one, Inna lillahi, we belong to Allah. We belong to Allah. So the first thing that you need to remind yourself, me, my wife, my children, my property, my business, my home, it all belongs to Allah. It's in my possession for an amanat. Not a permanent, it's just a temporary period that you will have to use it to benefit from it. And the owner has chosen a period for it, and you cannot alter that change. You cannot alter that period that you will benefit from that. As simple as it is, someone has given you a loan. You needed to use a car. Someone said, you asked us, person, borrow me your car. So he borrows you the car. You use it for the purpose. Now he says, you know, I need my car, give it back. You don't say, no, I still got this and this and this. No, you're being unfair by taking it away now. I still need to do this. He says, my car, I need to use it. I'm taking it away. And it's understood, there'll be no objection. You'll say, okay, you were kind to lend me the car in the first place. So similarly, when you begin to understand that everything is from Allah, and we are only the guardian for a stipulated period, and He will take the different things that are most beloved to us at different times, and we have no need, we have no authority to question Him in this regard. So that is the one thing. Allama Ibn Qayyim says, the next thing that you need to consider is that Everything in this world is temporary. And there's our second point, that life is short. We are constantly in a state of flux. And the conditions in our life will change. One of the pious predecessors said, well, yesterday is gone forever. Tomorrow I'll wait till it comes. What I have is now. What I have is now. This is the moment. And when we look at this, you know, something happens. You've lost a spouse. You've lost a child. You've got injured badly. You think that, oh, my whole world has come crashing down. But your whole world has not come crashing down. How long were you in existence before you came into this world? Thousands of years. How long will you exist after you leave this world? Eternity. That period of this world is a very, very short period. It is stated in the hadith that when the person who suffered the most in this world will be taken and put into Jannah for one single moment, and the person will be removed, and they will ask him, did you suffer anything? And he said, no, I never suffered for one moment. One moment in Jannah will make him forget about all the suffering of this world. In the same way, the person who had the most bounties, everything looked so rosy, everything looked perfect, the perfect life, everything looked outwardly in, you know, the best he could have. Everything just keep going well for him. But if this person has to be from a person of Jahannam, and it is said that when he will be dipped into Jahannam for a single moment, and he'll be taken out, and he will be asked, did you ever experience a bounty? One bounty. He'll say, no, I never experienced even a single bounty. That is the world for you. It's when you realize that the challenge, the sickness, the loss of life is a temporary thing. That the person you've lost, you're going to be united with the person in the Akhirah. That you need to work towards it being a positive meeting. That makes all the difference. When the angel of death is deputed to a Nabi to go take his life, then he comes to the Nabi and he asks permission. Do you allow me to take your life? If the Nabi says no, then he will go back and report that to Allah and say, this is the situation. The Anbiya want to meet Allah, and therefore they always are ready for death when it comes. So when the angel went to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the Nabi who lived for the longest period of time, his dawah period was 950 years. So he came to him and said, are you ready to leave? He said, yes, I'm ready to leave. So the angel saying that, what can you tell me about life in this world? Because you are the Nabi who lived for the longest period. So he said, what can I tell you? That it is kabaytun lahu baban, like a home with two doors. My entire life in this world feels like I entered in the front door and I just found myself by the back door waiting to leave the house again. 1,000 years felt like entering the house and leaving the house. That is life in this world. We have a special interest in radio. That is our profession. So there was a radio presenter who was interviewing a terminally ill person, critically ill person. So very delicately, the radio presenter asked the person, what is it like waking up every morning knowing that you're dying? The radio presenter asked, what is it like waking up every morning knowing that you're dying? So the critically ill person responded and says, what is it like waking up every morning pretending that you're not? What is it like waking up every morning pretending like you're not dying? So that is the reality that can strike any moment, and that life in this world is short. And that is the second point that we need to reflect on. That whatever the circumstances is, in the larger scheme of things, it is a short period that your separation, that your predicament, that your situation will have to be endured. The third point is, we need to develop رَضَى بِالْقَضَى, to be happy with the decree of Allah. إِيَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِذُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. If Allah intends for you harm, then there's none that can remove it except Allah. and it intends benefit for you, then that will certainly affect you, that you'll enjoy that, and no one can alter that in any way. In a hadith al-Quds, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, "Man istaslama liqada'i wa sabara ala bala'i wa shakara na'ma'i katabtuhu siddiqan wa ahshartuhu yawm al-qiyamah ma'a siddiqin." That person who is happy with my decree for him, and he submits to it, and is patient on my calamities that I afflicted him with, and he is appreciative for the bounties that I grant him, then I will make him from the Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, and I will resurrect them with this elite group on the day of Qiyamah, who are the Siddiqeen. We are told in the verse of the Quran, "Kunu ma as-sadiqeen." Then Allah Rabbul Izzah says, and that person who does not want to submit to my decree, he's not happy with my decree, وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي, and he does not bear patient the calamities that I afflict him with, nor is he appreciative of the bounties that I grant him, فَلْيَتْلُبْ إِلَٰهًا غَيْرِي, then he should go and seek a world other than my world to live in, and seek for a Rabb other than me as his Rabb. So what is this message of this hadith telling us? That when a calamity does afflict, then to be able to say, this is the decree of Allah and I submit to it. I'm happy with the decree of Allah under all circumstances. And what was an eye-opening experience for me last year when my first cousin, his son had met in an accident. And the news came, met in an accident. And then the next thing that happened was, the news was brought to him that your son has passed away in the accident. And what he said, this is the decree of Allah. That was his words. And it struck with me, that condition of the heart, رَضَى بِالْقَضَى, I'm happy with the decree of Allah. Whatever he has ordained for me, I submit and I'm happy with that. And that is the third point. The fourth point is that under all circumstances, we should endeavor to give out charity. Charity has a profound impact in alleviating our condition, in bringing the rahmah of Allah. The hadith says, As-sadaqatu tudfi'u al-ghadab al-rab. Charity extinguishes the anger of Allah. As-sadaqatu tadfa'u al-bala. It repels calamities and difficulties that are to befall you. One day, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with the Sahaba, and there was a Jewish man who came there and said, As-salamu alayk. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wa alayk. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam, who was also from the Jewish religion before, he said, Oh Nabi Allah, do you know what he said? He said, As-salamu alayk, which means may death come upon you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I said to him, Wa alayk, the same to you, I never increase or decrease on that. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you see this man going here, a black snake is going to bite him on his neck. And then he goes away. He goes to the forest and he comes back with a bundle of wood on his shoulder. And as he's passing by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a second time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that stop. And he stops and he says, take down the bundle that you have. So he takes down the bundle and puts it down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look in that bundle. And when he looks in the bundle, he sees there's a snake there that was already attached itself to one of the pieces of wood. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this snake was about to bite you, but there's something that you did that has protected you. So what is it that you did? She said, no, I went to the forest and I cut the wood and I came back. He said, is that all? He says, yeah, that's all. The only thing is that I had two pieces of bread with me. And when I was going to the forest, I saw a poor person, so I gave him one piece and I ate one piece. Nabi Salim said, that one piece that you gave the poor man saved you. The snake was going to bite you, but because you gave that piece of bread to the poor man, it was a means of protecting you. And I witnessed this myself. You know, my brother was stabbed 7 times. But Allah shukr, none of the vitals, none of the organs were affected. He was stabbed on his arms, he was stabbed on the back. If you think, he was stabbed on the neck, but nothing major was affected. And I asked him, what was it? And he said that just before leaving the home, there was someone who needed assistance with purchasing a car, and I'd given him some charity. And I think that is what helped me at this point. The charity was the means of something worse being afflicted by that You know, through the charity, he was afflicted, he was saved from a worse situation. So that is the fourth thing that we need to consider, that you always give charity. Make a daily habit that you give a certain amount. Make an effort that you go to the bank and you deliberately make some change and give it out at random moments. This will just bring barakah and alleviate difficulties in your life. And the fourth or the fifth point is that, and this is a difficult one, it's a double-edged sword, to be able to make shukr at a difficult time. So when someone's father passes away, then you go to the man, you tell him that, you know, you must make shukr that he passed away at your home, he could have been in hospital, or that he lived till a good age. That is insensitive. You are forcing shukr on another person. Allow him to grieve. That is, you know, it's irresponsible to say something like that. And we think that, you know, we're trying to make it lighter for him. But every person has their own way of grieving. And they're allowed to grieve. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at the time when he lost his son, Sayyidina Ibrahim, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Sahaba were with him. And at that moment, when he was holding Sayyidina Ibrahim in his hands, and tears started to roll from his eyes. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf was there, and he said, "Oh, Nabi of Allah, what is this? Tears." As though to ask, is this an objection? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna al-ayna tadma' wal-qalba tahzan, wa la naqulu illa ma yurdhi Rabbana, wa inna bifiraqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun." That the eyes will tear, the heart will grieve, but the tongue will not say anything that will displease our Allah. That, "Oh Ibrahim, we are saddened at your departure, but we will remain patient." So grief is something that is allowed. And at that time, don't force gratitude on another person. Don't try to make them see that, no, you must be thankful for this or be thankful for that. Allow them to grieve. But when a situation comes upon us, where there's something that has afflicted us, when there's a loss, then for us at that moment, what would be the epitome of gratitude to Allah is to stop and say, "Ya Allah, it could have been worse. They only took this, they could have taken more. They shot me here, they could have, you know, taken my life, the greatest gift, the gift of life. I thank you for all the years that I had with my beloved. I thank you for the good years that I enjoyed." At that moment, to be able to stop and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Urwa bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi, or the great Tabi'i, from amongst the great scholars of Medina. He was known as amongst the Fuqaha of Medina. And he was invited by Al-Walid to Damascus. And when he went there, in the process, he took his son with Muhammad. And Muhammad went looking out to the stables, a horse trampled him, he died. When they went to the janazah, Urwa was standing next to the grave, he developed gangrene in his foot. The doctors had to amputate his leg. He left in a lot of pomp and show to visit the Khalif. When he came back, he had to be carried. And he was being carried into Medina. All his students, his disciples, all those who were attached, they looked at it and they were broken to see, here's our mentor, here's our teacher, here's our ustad. He went in such a nice way. Now he has to be carried. His leg is cut. His son is lost. And when he seen the situation, he stopped and he said, "Don't feel sorry for me. Allah had given me four limbs, two hands and two feet. He took my one foot. He took my one leg. I thank him for the three that he's left by me. Allah has given me four sons. He's taken one of the four. I thank him for the three that he's left by me. There is no need to feel sorry for me. I'm thankful for what Allah has granted me." To be able to be grateful to Allah under those circumstances. May Allah Rabbul Izzah save us from difficult situations. May Allah grant us afiyat under all circumstances. Allah has his divine wisdom. Sometimes it's only a painful situation that will point us in the right direction. Allah is to bring these circumstances upon us so that we are guided, so that we make the steps. When our lives are sometimes too easy or too comfortable, we're not willing to make that change, to get closer to Allah, to become regular with the masjid, to give up all the vice that we have in our life, to abandon the music and the illicit things that we continue to view on our cell phones and on the screen. We don't have the strength, but when something happens, then we make that change. So we shouldn't look at it as a punishment from Allah, but we should look at it as Allah is calling us, "Oh my banda, oh my servant, a tap on the back, la'allakum tarji'oon, so that you may return to Allah." What is Allah telling me? To stop at that moment, ask, what is Allah telling me? What is the message that I should draw from this? What are the changes that I need to make in my life? May Allah Rabbul Izzah give us the ability to always be on the outlook to take benefit from all circumstances and to be from the servants that always turn to him. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.